Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, on the next Leonard Lopate show, Julie Burstein, the creator of Studio 360, discusses how creativity works and what inspires artists like Chuck Close and Yo-Yo Ma today at noon on 93.9 FM and AM 820 WNYC. Now, how do you age gracefully? The world wants the elderly to try and reverse the aging process. We've heard we should try to look and feel younger, and that the medical community has assigned old age to the category of disease. But should we be trying to cure old age, or should we be trying to embrace the realities and even the gifts of growing older? Dr. Mark Agronin thinks that we should work for the latter. Good advice or Pollyanna? He's the medical director for mental health and clinical research at Miami Jewish Health Systems and the author now of How We Age, A Doctor's Journey into the Heart of Growing Old. Dr. Agronin, thank you so much for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we've heard before that people should stay active, eat well, exercise their minds to keep them operating at, quote, young capacity for as long as possible. And I think your book is in some ways about making sure to value the ways in which the brain and the body are changing as we age, correct?
Yes, that's true. I try to emphasize that whatever someone is able to do as they age, the important thing is not to focus only on the downside, to realize that everyone has a context, and within that, they can find vital activities and meaning to their existence. Some individuals are able to be really active as they age and engage in many of the things you just mentioned in terms of being physically active and mentally active. For some other people, it's more difficult, but that doesn't mean that there aren't meaningful aspects to their lives.
But what does that mean? Does that just mean embracing decline and being okay with it?
No, I think it's a matter of finding ways to look at possibility rather than just the downside. And I can give you a good example.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working with a 96-year-old man with a long history of depression. He's in a wheelchair. He's had really serious marital issues. And this is someone at 96. And a lot of people would argue that there's not much you can do at that point. We've worked with him in psychotherapy. He's been on medications. He came in last week and he said, I have to tell you, my life has been turned around. And he described how he was able to come to some greater understanding of how he looks at the world. He was able to make a few changes in his marriage, which really opened up his outlook. And it made all the difference for him. So this is not someone who's had a complete change in his personality. It's not someone who's suddenly out, running and engaged in different activities. But he's been able to have a better understanding of his life and situation. And this, in turn, has brightened his mood and opened up some new possibilities for him.
Listeners, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I would point out that this is even at 96. We tend to think that, well, if someone's in their 80s and 90s, we're really limited in terms of what we can do, but that's not always the case.
Listeners, we can take a few phone calls, either with your own experience of aging or watching the experiences of a loved one. Do you have a story of positive mental or physical changes, stories about the optimism of late in life, growth? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. You also write about the 93-year-old woman meeting directly, who you met directly after her husband of 73 years had passed away.
Yes, this really taught me and reinforced a lesson. I work as the psychiatrist at a nursing home, actually the largest nursing home in Florida. And I was asked to evaluate a woman in her early 90s who came in after her husband, after 73 years of marriage, had passed away. And when I went in to see her, I could only imagine that she had to be very depressed from this. And indeed, even when I walked in the room, she looked depressed. I sat down with her, and I literally took her hand, and I said, what has it been like for you after losing your husband, after so many years of marriage, and now having to move here? And she paused, she looked up at me, and she said, heaven. Now, obviously, I was shocked by her response, and I would not describe it as a typical response, but this is someone who had endured a marriage with, as she described, a very gruff individual. She probably should have gotten out of this a long time ago. And for her, as much as she had some sadness over it, she also looked at this as a time of a little bit more freedom and opportunity. Now, this is 3 years ago. She's in her mid-90s. She's actively involved in the nursing home. And she really taught me that we have to be careful in the assumptions we make about what someone may be experiencing as they get older, because it's often different from what we imagine. When we're younger, we tend to project a lot of fear and misery onto old age. And yet, if you look at any survey or just from personal experiences I talk about in the book with older individuals, that's not what I'm hearing all the time. In fact, I'm often hearing the opposite.
Dr. Mark Agronin, author of How We Age, A Doctor's Journey into the Heart of Growing Old. A couple more things from the book that caught our eyes. You dedicate a section of the book to tracking the ways that changing brain functioning can be a good thing, that old brains grow new nerve connections, even though we think of brain function declining. Also, you write about a survey that shows that happiness peaks at age 85. Really?
Yes. According to a Gallup poll of about 340,000 individuals age 18 to 85, when they looked at levels of well-being, they actually found that we started off pretty high at age 18. We dropped to a low point around middle age and around age 50, and we actually hit the highest peak at age 85. Now, this is not the end-all be-all of old age, but what it suggests is that, at least in the survey, the vast majority of older individuals actually were the happiest and had the greatest amount of well-being compared to everyone across the life cycle. And so it really should challenge the assumptions we have that late life is a time of depression and loneliness and sadness, because that's often not the case.
David in Forest Hills, you're on WNYC. You've used Dr. Agronin's methods with your father?
Hello, yes. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are, sir.
Yes, I'd just like to say the doctor is a perfect example of the medical profession selling out to sell books for nonsense, because this is nonsense, just for WNYC to sell books.
Excuse me? All right.
Hello?
Yes, I hear what you're saying. Do you want to challenge?
Should be ashamed of itself.
Do you want to challenge
anyone who wants to come out with a book about increasing lifespan? And
yes.
You know, it's a shame that we have to resort to this.
What I would say is the book really is not about increasing lifespan. It's essentially stories about individuals I work with, and I think it's something that people would hopefully be inspired by, to realize that we have to be vitally involved with our elders and still make certain that they have a lot of meaning in life. If the caller in is under the impression that this is a cure-all for aging, that's simply not what the book is about. It's really about taking aging as it is and making certain that we put as much value into it as possible.
Jennifer at Berkeley Heights, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I work with the elderly population every day through my job. And one time I had a patient who was 104 while I was seeing him, and he was limited physically in what he could do because he had fallen. But that's why we were seeing him. But he was a very mentally sharp, funny, happy, active man, still lived in his own home. And I asked him, what was your secret to living such a long and vital life and staying so positive? And he said, it's not what you eat. It's not what you do eat or don't eat. It's not what you do or don't drink. It's not about exercise. It's about waking up every day with a purpose. And I thought that was very inspiring. And, you know, he couldn't do so much. His purpose was to get up every day and watch the stocks, you know. So that purpose can be different for every individual. And I think that's very important as you get older to remember that your purpose won't always be the same, that it can change, but that doesn't mean that your satisfaction will be less.
Doctor?
That's an excellent point. Attitude makes a difference. The way we think about growing old has a lot to do with how we experience it. And in fact, what we know from a lot of research is that older brains tend to focus more on the positive rather than the negative. And so what you're seeing in this particular man is really not atypical at all. It may be a way the brain has to actually adapt to the changes as we get older, but it's a relatively common experience. I think we'd all agree that when you have a mission in life, whether it's large or small, it certainly gives you hope and carries you from day to day. And as we're vitally involved with our elders, we're able to not only help them with their mission, but also it gives us purpose and meaning. And what we give to them, we end up getting back, because one thing that's certain is that all of us will age. All of us will be there someday.
Sam in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Sam.
Good morning. I'm 87 years old. Well, I was 87 last November. I have always been very physical. I was in the infantry in World War II. I'm caring. I'm helping to care for my wife, who has Alzheimer's. I have. I thought I was going to be well fixed, but it's very expensive taking care of somebody at home. And all I'm happy about is that I'm able so far to keep the milk and cookies going together, my outgo and my income. And I'm very happy. I sit at my computer all day. I write. I used to be an artist, but I can't see out of one eye anymore. Oh, I have all these things that have happened to me, and I don't feel depressed. I'm sorry. I hate to disappoint a lot of people.
Well, quite to the contrary. The fact that depression is not a normal part of aging, and it should not be something that we just expect to happen with people. Depression is a disease. It can be treated. It occurs across the lifespan. And if anything, actually, the rates of major depression go down in late life. It's more in the setting of illness or Alzheimer's disease that we tend to see increases in depression. But if someone is not suffering from something like that, often their quality of life is not only very good, but they adapt and, just as the caller really illustrated, maintain quite vital, active lives.
And you even write, and Sam, thank you so much for your call, and good luck to you and your wife. You even wrote about a 90-year-old woman. We have about a minute left, but woman who believes she has just given birth to twin boys, and yet this fact seems to ease her mind and relax her instead of causing agitation. That's certainly an alternative way to look at that piece of what you might call dementia.
Sure. Well, the bottom line is to listen to someone. Don't make assumptions. Hear what they have to say. And as a physician, I need to decide, is this a problem or is this something that's actually helpful or something that they have to work through? And
so
again,
the right response is not necessarily, no, snap out of it. You obviously didn't just give birth to twin boys. Are you making a case for dementia being a protective mental state in some cases?
I wouldn't describe it as protective. I would just describe the connection we have to have with someone is always to be a good listener, to be empathic, and to first listen before we decide what we need to do.
All right. Dr. Mark Agronin, he is the medical director for mental health and clinical research at the Miami Jewish Health Systems, and he's the author now of How We Age, A Doctor's Journey into the Heart of Growing Old. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. If you want to go to our... Oh, coming up tomorrow, the price of everything is going up, and it's causing a deadly food shortage for the world's poorest people. Tomorrow, we have the great thinker Raj Patel on the growing world food crisis and what to do about it. That's coming up tomorrow here on The Brian Lehrer Show. Another hour to come today. Stay with us.